Our guest today is Superintendent of the Chicago Police Department. He started as a patrolman just over 31 years ago. Our guest today is a Chicago native who grew up in Cabrini Green, not far from here, until he was 9 years old. He deserves enormous credit for the repeat gun offender laws recently enacted in Springfield, which started right here at the City Club of Chicago. Give him a round of applause for that. He led the charge down there. He led the charge and got the job done. Ladies and gentlemen, Eddie Johnson. Superintendent.
All right, so. Good afternoon. So before I get started, I just want to again personally thank Chief Saunders from Toronto and the Special Olympian. If you all don't know this, Chief Saunders and myself are kindred spirits. We both went through kidney transplant surgery about the same time, and we talk all the time, even share medications if we have to. But he's been a good friend and an advocate for CPD, and I consider him, our sister city, and consider him a real friend. So thank you, Chief. And before I forget, we're coming down to the end of the Rahm Emanuel administration. And I have to tell you all, I could not have asked for a better partner in the crime fight in the city of Chicago. That man has not failed me one time when I've asked him for resources so that we could reduce the crime. He shares the same passion that I do in terms of trying to make this city better. But behind him stands a lady that I'm just so incredibly proud of, and it just warms my heart every time I see her. She's been a champion for different charities around the city and has always stood behind myself and CPD. So let's give another round of applause to First Lady Amy Wood. So it's an honor to again address the City Club of Chicago as a superintendent of the Chicago Police Department. I'm here today again with Chief of Toronto's Police Service, Mark Saunders. So please forgive us for having to leave and keep this brief, but we have to go over to Soldier Field. Special Olympics began here in Chicago, and last year the Eternal Flame of Hope was dedicated to mark the 50th anniversary of the games that were founded by the late Eunice Kennedy Shriver, the sister of the late President John F. Kennedy. The founder of the Special Olympics was inspired by her own sister, Rosemary. Now, this inspiration led to more than 1,000 athletes with intellectual disabilities participating in the first official summer games on July 20th of 1986 on Chicago's lakefront. What began as a citywide track meet evolved to the Special Olympics that we know today. Now more than 5 million children and adults now participate in these events annually. Special Olympics held its first event outside the United States in 1993. This year, more than 7,000 athletes from 170 countries participated in the 2019 Special Olympic World Games in Abu Dhabi in the United Arab Emirates. And I'm proud to say that I met several of those. I was there at the time of those Olympics and met several of those athletes, and it was just wonderful seeing them participate in the games. Representatives from Toronto, including Chief Saunders, are visiting Chicago to light the lantern from our flame, which will then be used to light a torch that will mark their own Special Olympics event. But the dedication to Special Olympics isn't the only place where Chicago and Toronto have similarities. Both Chicago and Toronto are cities with similar sized populations on shores of the Great Lakes, with Lake Ontario just to the east of Toronto and Lake Michigan to the east of Chicago. We also both work in diverse cities that are home to large, vibrant immigrant populations. And though our presidents may be very different, our two cities have so much to learn from each other. I often tout our police force to visiting dignitaries and tell the story of my appointment as superintendent in April of 2016. This was a challenging time for CPD, the communities that we serve, and the city of Chicago. Those communities are still reeling in the wake of several high-profile shootings. Frankly, many people just didn't trust the police. So when I took the job, I vowed to do everything in my power to change that perception. Now it helps to have a partner when making an ambitious goal of this sort, and Mayor Rahm Emanuel has been firmly in my corner since handing me the keys to my office on the fifth floor of 3510 South Michigan. Together, we made a commitment to make a community policing a priority, because after all, CPD can't do this alone. We can't do it independently of the communities that we serve. We need to have partners in all of those neighborhoods. And I also believe that the Bureau of Patrol is the backbone of our department. Officers within this Bureau know the importance of being visible within the communities that they serve. Simply stopping to say hello to someone can make all the difference in the world should they ever need to respond to an emergency call at that same location. But how do we free up officers to have these meaningful conversations when our officers receive constant calls for service on the radio throughout their shift? I believe that the District Collaboration Officer Program might be the answer to that dilemma. The program began in New York in 2015. Now it's been part of a pilot program in the 25th District or Grand Central District on the Northwest side since January. And it seeks to free up officers from their radio obligations to have meaningful conversations with residents. This idea is to identify chronic problems within a community. Maybe it's car speeding near a school or a vacant house that's attracting a criminal element, or some other issue that residents are just waiting to share with an officer who's willing to take the time to listen. The 25th District now has 10 dedicated officers committed to this effort. Now, when the trial run concludes, the DCO program will be evaluated by a research team at Northwestern University, and I'm eager to hear the results to see if we should expand it. Community engagement is certainly a key factor to CPD's success, but manpower also plays a major role in keeping our city safe. And again, Mayor Rahm Emanuel has been an invaluable partner and committed to growing the rank and file of CPD. Together, the mayor and I pledged in 2016 to add 970 new officers to the department over a two-year period of time. These additions came on top of replacing officers who had either retired or just moved on from the department. Today, I'm pleased to say that we surpassed our goal late last year, and we continue to pin badges on new officers at a brisk pace. In fact, CPD, since that time, has added 2,418 new recruits since January of 2017. These new additions come on board eager to make Chicago a safer place to live, work, and play. CPD has learned these fresh faces with seasoned, we have partnered these fresh faces with seasoned officers who can guide them along their way. Our field training officers work with the new recruits for a minimum of 81 days before they're assigned to their own beats. This allows officers to get hands-on experience with a variety of law enforcement duties, from writing traffic tickets to apprehending offenders. The department also announced changes to its command staff last month. In all, 2 chiefs, 4 deputy chiefs, 2 executive officers, and 9 commanders were assigned throughout the city. Now, I know most of these new leaders personally, and I can tell you that I believe they'll bring fresh perspectives to the Chicago Police Department. Some of these appointments are replacing CPD veterans who have entered into their retirements. We all are in debt to those officers for their years of service, and I thank them deeply. The third piece of the puzzle that Mary Emanuel and I have made a priority is new technology. Chicago has become a technology hub in the world of policing. We debuted our first Strategic Decision Support Center, or SDSC, in January of 2017. This dedicated technology room combines gunshot detection systems, both city and privately owned security camera footage, and mobile technology into one nerve center. These SDSCs are now operating in 20 of the 22 police districts throughout the city. Here, officers and analysts are able to monitor hotspots in search of crime. These technology hubs are also helpful in responding to calls for service, as all cameras within an area can be focused on a particular address at a moment's notice. The information captured by these cameras is then immediately relayed to responding officers in the field, and I've seen firsthand how these SDSCs have picked up the sound of gunshots, and we've captured the offender holding a gun on camera and been able to relay the address and the description of the offender to officers while they're en route to the scene. In this world of modern technology, we are no longer solely dependent on 911 calls. And that's not to say we still don't rely on these emergency calls. So if you see something suspicious, I continue to urge everyone to call 911. In fact, these calls have added benefits when combined with the SDSC technology. When all of this information is cross-referenced, that's how patterns begin to emerge. This allows CPD to send officers to saturate an area where we anticipate criminal activity based on previous calls for service and other qualifiers. Thus, our officers can strategically deploy so they can become a visible deterrent to that crime issue. The addition of technology, manpower, and a strong commitment to building partnerships within our neighborhoods has all helped us to turn around the situation that looked dire in the year of 2016. In fact, overall crime dropped 10% in the two-year period between 2016 and 2018. This decline was led by a 28% drop in murders, 19% drop in robberies, and a 17% drop in burglaries citywide. Shootings are also down 32% for the two-year period ending in 2018, and in my opinion, that means that we're definitely doing the right thing and we're heading in the right direction. In fact, our SDSC rooms have been so successful that we've now built a similar room just for detectives. The first area technology center was installed in Area South this past March. These rooms are more focused on gathering evidence against offenders as detectives build cases against them. They're equipped with special technology that can quickly cut through various formats to gather video footage from all makes and models of security cameras. These rooms are also able to pull relevant information from an offender's cell phone within moments, regardless of the type of phone or the mobile carrier. The idea here is to improve CPD's clearance rates using the same formula that has been successful in tackling violent crime across the city. Now I can tell you, we can still do better, and we have faced some headwinds as the weather is starting to warm up in the recent weeks. CPD's summer initiative aims to address many of the concerns that arise every year during this time. I want to begin by saying that Chicago comes alive in the summertime, and we all deserve to feel safe as we enjoy the long days and the warm weather. So please, volunteer to host a block party in your neighborhood. Take a group of friends to enjoy a free concert at Millennium Park, or catch a ball game on the north or south side, or the south side. I'm going to get in trouble for that one. Meanwhile, CPD will be working hard to keep you safe. Our plan will again rely on the data from the SDSC rooms that I previously touched on. It also includes several seasonal deployments, including the summer mobile team, saturation teams, gun teams, bicycle teams, and more. These teams can be assembled quickly and deployed to areas of immediate concern, or they can also patrol an area we know is going to be popular, such as the beach, beachfront, or large festivals like Lollapalooza and the Taste of Chicago. We've also created a special mass transit team to patrol train stations and bus stations. Added foot patrols are also planned for Chicago's business and entertainment districts. On a more somber note, I'll be traveling to Washington, D.C. later this week to attend the National Police Week. This is a time when the nation comes together to pause and remember and bestow its highest honors to officers killed in the line of duty. It pains me to say that this year's ceremony will honor Commander Paul Bauer, Officer Samuel Jimenez, Eduardo Marmaleo, and Conrad Gary. The commanders of these slain officers and I will personally escort the families of the fallen to these national events. More than 200 Chicago police officers have volunteered to travel at their own expense to support the families as they take part in memorial events and meet with the President of the United States, congressional leaders, and federal officials. Tomorrow, a motorcade will depart from Chicago Police Headquarters on Friday morning, and I ask you for your prayers for these families as they process their grief. Thank you all for your time today, and now we'll take questions. Thank you all.
All right. I told you all I'm a cop's kid, so I'm real obedient. And I'm trying to move along quickly. So I just talked to Chief, and if we don't get to all the questions, you can figure out a way to ask him later. Yeah. I don't know how you're going
to
do that.
More than happy to answer.
So just to start off, the summer initiative. If people want more information about the summer initiative, what you all are doing, who do they contact?
Where is he at? He's back there somewhere, news director Anthony Guglielmi. But we'll be having a press conference Memorial Day weekend, and we'll really lay out the entire summer plan for you at that time.
Got that? Press conference Memorial Day weekend. Okay. I'm really going to be moving fast. Dave Dwyer, not a City Club member. You need to fix that. Tax-free retirement solution. Should a police officer that knowingly writes up a CPD false arrest that is investigated and confirmed by COPA be disciplined, apologize to the arrested individual, or even be fired by CPD? Your thoughts?
Yeah, look, I have zero tolerance for intentional misconduct. If a police officer intentionally falsely arrests somebody, that's not an apology situation. That's a fire. That's a termination situation. So I'm not looking for an apology. I'm looking for you to leave this job.
Sabrina, is it Juntole? I was good. Okay, close. Your writing is excellent. We all know it is, isn't it? Look at that.
Well, that is.
We all know how difficult the job of law enforcement is today, particularly in Chicago. And you've provided amazing leadership in the city. In what ways can businesses better assist law enforcement, particularly in areas related to health and wellness?
You know what? That's a great question. So listen, many of you are already partnering with us in providing job opportunities, internships, and things of that nature for people in challenging areas of the city. So if you can continue to do that, that's a great help, because crime is a complex issue, but you have to address the root causes of crime. And giving them opportunities will help do that and make my job a lot easier. And just to say, when I became superintendent, I think we had maybe 14,000 summer jobs for youth and Mary Emanuel, and I talked about it, and he increased that to like 33,000. Those are the types of things that keep these kids off the street and give them something else to do.
That's right. Just a shameless plug, give these kids some jobs. Give them something to do. I know in the finance world, we spend a lot of time preparing ourselves internally through some of the mayor's programs and some other things. Give these kids some jobs and get them off the street. So this question kind of goes to that. Ellen, I'm going to ask your question. What is the plan to address carjacking? There was also another question in here that talked about the kids that came downtown. And, you know, what was going on with that. Can you talk a little bit about that for age 16 and under?
Okay.
Are there any programs?
So I'm getting older now, so my memory ain't what it used to be. Okay, so I'll do the carjacking thing first. So I'm pleased to say, since we initiated the carjacking task force last year, our carjackings in the city of Chicago have come down substantially. I think we're at about a 14% drop from where we were. And, U.S. Attorney John Lausch has done a great job because he's taken some of those cases federally, and I think that's sending the message that we just won't come after you with state charges. Now we'll come after you federally for carjacking. So our carjackings are way down. So that's a good thing. As far as the groups of kids coming downtown in the summer months, that's a complex issue because we have to stay within the framework of the Constitution. Those kids have a right to come downtown unless they're committing criminal acts. So we're right now in the process of devising a plan that would give those kids an alternative. But I will tell you all unequivocally, you come downtown, or for that matter, anywhere in the city, and you misbehave, then you're going to be held accountable. And I think that's the key to all this. You don't want to treat a juvenile like you would an adult, but there still has to be some accountability when they do that. So I think the plan that we're coming with, I'm not going to tell you yet, but I think you all will be pleased with what we've come up with, because I think that will really tap this down once and for all.
And so that goes for the kids coming from South and West Sides. That goes for kids coming from the suburbs. That
doesn't
goes
matter.
For Lollapalooza. That goes for...
Doesn't matter.
Okay. I specifically asked that because there is some clarity that may have needed to be asked.
No, I'm talking about all children. It doesn't matter. We don't target people by their race or ethnicity. We target them because of what they're doing. If you come down there and you act like you have some sense, have at it. But if you come down there and commit criminal acts, you will be held accountable, period.
That's fair. Amber Schmock, are you here from Access Living? Oh.
Somebody's using your name.
So there's another Amber Schmock from Access Living. It is not Amber here. So it's not Amber. Could you address what CPD is doing to... It was her. Her twin, her evil twin. Could you address what CPD is doing to engage with people with disabilities on disability issues aside from those of mental health? Good question.
Okay, so we have external partners that we partner with, and with people with disabilities or mental health challenges, we go to their residence sometimes with those external partners, and we'll provide resources to them. You know, and I tell you, the chief and I were talking on the way over here about when we came on the job of law enforcement officers, you know, over 30 years ago. Back then, our mission was pretty clear in terms of we just focused on law enforcement and arresting bad actors. Now, unfortunately, almost all the societal's ills are dumped at the doorstep of police officers. And quite frankly, we're not equipped to deal with all of that, but we do have a lot of external partners that help us in those particular areas.
Okay. Spencer Stern, are you here? You know the rule. I don't see you. You don't get your question asked. I saw him. And he's a member, so he gets a pass. Can you discuss how the CPD is enabling technology to enhance community policing and activities?
Yeah, so our technology, we are on the cutting edge of technology and law enforcement now. So the community policing aspect of it is front and center. So what we do, you know, when people hear about police departments utilizing technology, they get nervous sometimes. So our community policing office has brought those individuals into these police districts to actually see what we do, to put them at ease with it. And once they see that, they actually partner with us and they go out into those communities and address the concerns that their other community residents might have. And that has really helped ease that privacy concern that people had.
Ruben Franco, are you here? Better wave your hand high. Australian consulate from Chicago. Wonderful. What is the biggest challenge in rising above the negative national opinion of Chicago's gun violence? How do you balance the approach to combating gun violence in Chicago? Police strategy versus advocating for state county police reform?
You know, in terms of reform, you know, we're in the midst of the consent decree. And I think the mayor and I really made a concerted effort to not have the consent decree where it was done to the police, but rather with the police. And if you all didn't notice, many of those recommendations that came from the Department of Justice, the rank and file officers are the ones that made those recommendations. So they want to be better. They want to be the best that they can be. And I think they're showing it. What was the first part of that question?
I just dropped one. How do you balance rising above the negative national opinion?
So the national narrative about Chicago is frustrating for me, as I'm sure it is for a lot of you all. That narrative about Chicago being a city on fire is just not true. You know, we have pockets on the south and west sides where we have some challenging areas, of course, and we're addressing those. But I think we just have to do a better job, because when you look at Chicago per capita in terms of violent crime, we're nowhere near the top, but people don't know that. We just get so much attention because we're so big. That's why we get all that attention. There's a whole lot of cities that have more violent crime per capita than we do. But we just have to keep putting out those positive stories. You know, our violent crime in 2016 was the highest it had been in a couple of decades. And every year since then, we've driven it down. You know, and that's something that I'm proud of. We're not there yet. You know, we still have a long way to go, a lot of work to do. But I just think we have to just keep putting the information, the correct information out there, because believe it or not, facts do matter.
Do we have any other cops here today? So they're all busy working.
Hey, we're keeping the city safe.
All right. Okay, that's fine. I was going to give y'all a shout out, but you're not here. So here's two questions, and I'm sure it's a quick question. One is, how are you bringing equality and peace to the city, workplaces, and neighborhoods? And then the other is, and that was asked by Michael Pitstrack. And then Tracy Robinson English says, how you support the new mayor. I'm assuming the same way you're supporting this mayor, but I'm going to let you to that.
Okay, how do I support the new mayor? Listen, I've had a wonderful 3 years with Mayor Emanuel in terms of trying to do the right thing for the city of Chicago, so much so that I now consider him and the First Lady friends. So when the new mayor comes aboard, you know, we've had in-depth conversation, and she believes in public safety and CPD just like I do. So I think it'll be a fairly seamless transition. You know, I think that she supports the things that we're trying to do, the technology that we're utilizing, and we'll just continue to move forward. As far as the workplace violence, I think what we need to do a better job of is for workplaces that have large employee populations, we have to do a better job of doing active shooter training. And for those of you that don't know it, our SWAT team constantly is doing active shooter training with hospitals, schools, and things of that nature. So if you want to participate in that, just give us a call, and we'll be happy to set that up. Because I think the more informed everyone is in terms of what to do, then we might not be able to prevent that first shooting, but we can certainly prevent the major loss of life.
So Shai Rivette from Chicago Children's Advocacy Center, she is here, asks this question. Thank you for your investment in investigators of child sexual abuse. Do you have any insight on how several harms against children can be prevented? And then we have one more question that we're going to be able to get to.
You know, that's a real touchy subject for everyone. You know, when you talk about crimes against children, I think that tugs at everyone's heart. But what I will say is this, you know, because a large majority of that stuff occurs inside the household. You know, when you've heard me say parenting is at the key of us being able to reduce a lot of violence in this city, it's true, because a lot of this stuff starts at home. But I also say, if you know someone that's struggling with being a parent and you know how to be a parent, reach back and help them, because sometimes they just don't know. At the same token, when you see things that just seem a bit off at your neighbor's home, call 911 and let us investigate it. Let DCFS investigate it, because if you don't say anything, then we're putting that child in harm's way. So if you have that, God gave you instincts for a reason. He really did. So when you see things that are of suspicious nature with neighbors or coworkers or whatever, let somebody know.
I know Shara's in here somewhere. I just don't see her. Oh, there she is, right there. You have a police department actually in the advocacy center, so.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So, Pam Clifford, are you here? I was like, please be here because this is a good question. Pam is a Chicago resident, and she says, this month marks your 31st year as Chicago Police Department.
Police officer.
I'm sorry. The last 3 years as superintendent. Mm-hmm. What do you want and expect your legacy to be? Not that you're going anywhere. But.
Right. You're kicking me out already?
No.
You know what? When the time comes for me to leave, and it will come, what I want people to know is that I care deeply about protecting this city and keeping it safe. You know, because I will tell you all this. I want so desperately for the Chicago Police Department to be a department the entire city can be proud of. And we're on our way to that. We're not there yet because it's hard to correct years and decades of mistreatment in some of these communities, but you can't correct it if you don't acknowledge that it was there. I've acknowledged it that we have treated parts of the city and the African American and Hispanic communities inappropriately. And I just want people to know we might not get all the way there before I leave, but we're a lot closer than when I took this seat. And that's what I want people to know. I just want you all to know that I really, really appreciate you all's support from the bottom of my heart. Jay Doherty, Tom Donovan, the City Club has been wonderful, and it gives us a platform to get things out there, the positive things that we're doing, because all we see is negative stuff. Chicago is a great city.
It is.
And together, we can change that narrative that people are falsely putting out there about our city. We have our challenges. We do. We acknowledge that. But we can overcome these challenges together. And when I look around this room, there are a lot of dedicated Chicagoans in this room that want nothing more but to see this city prosper and have that great, great look nationally that we deserve. So thank you all for having me. And again, I apologize.